Hey there, kids. It's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and I'm not going to take up much of your time because I'm pretty sure you saw the title of this, and hopefully you're somewhat excited. Every year, there's been this tradition of me putting together, like, this MCP horror reboot, except for, like, the last year. I think I skipped it last year, but I wanted to make sure that would make this year extra special. There was a story that I did that I think heavily attributed to this channel's ability to take off, and I'd always wanted to return to it, however, I just never did. It's very long, it's very good, but I don't think I ever actually gave it another shot, because I was very happy with the performance that I gave in the first time. However, now that I'm going back and listening to it, the audio quality's not great, the music quality's not great, and all around, it's not great. So this year, on my birthday, and Creeps' birthday, and quite a few other people who share this birthday date, I'm putting together a MCP horror reboot that is 6 parts long. Starting today. If you guys are looking for more binge listening after this, I really hope you guys will check out the live stream. It's live right now on YouTube. And on May 23rd through the 26th, I'll be at MomoCon in Atlanta, Georgia. That's all the announcements, that's all the information, and I hope you guys enjoy this MCP horror reboot of Pen Pal by Dathan Auerbach. This is long, so I apologize for that. I've never had to tell this story with enough detail to explain it all the way, but it is true. And it happened when I was about 6 years old. In a quiet room, you press your ear against a pillow and hear your heartbeat. As a kid, the muffled rhythmic beats sounded like soft footsteps on a carpeted floor. So, as a kid, almost every night, just as I was about to drift off to sleep, I would hear these footsteps. I'd be ripped back to consciousness, terrified. For my entire childhood, I lived with my mother in a fairly nice neighborhood that was in a transitional phase. People of lower economic means would gradually move in, and my mother and I were two of those people. We lived in the kind of house you see being transported in two pieces on the interstate. But my mom took care of it. There were a lot of woods surrounding the neighborhood that I would play in and explore during the day. But at night, as things often do to a kid, they look a lot more sinister feeling. This, coupled with the fact that due to the nature of our house, there was a fairly large crawl space underneath, filled my mind with imaginary monsters and inescapable scenarios which would consume my thoughts when I was awoken by the footsteps. I told my mom about the footsteps, and she said that I was just imagining things. I persisted enough that she blasted my ears with water from a turkey baster once just to placate me, since I thought that would help. And of course it didn't. Despite all the creepiness and footsteps, the only weird thing that ever happened was that every now and then, I would wake up on the bottom bunk despite having gone to sleep on the top. This really wasn't weird, since I'd sometimes get up to piss or get something to drink, and I'd remember just going back to sleep on the bottom bunk. I'm an only child, so it didn't matter. This would happen once or twice a week. But waking up on the bottom bunk wasn't too terrifying. One night, I didn't wake up on the bottom bunk. I had heard the footsteps. I was too far gone to be woken up by them, and when I was awoken, it wasn't from the sound of footsteps or a nightmare. Because I was cold. Really cold. When I opened my eyes, I saw stars. I was in the woods. I sat up immediately and I tried to figure out what was going on. I thought I was dreaming, but that didn't seem right. Though neither did me being in the woods. There was a deflated pool float right in front of me, one of those ones shaped like a shark. This only added to the surreal feeling, but after a while, it seemed like I just wasn't going to wake up because I wasn't asleep. I stood up to orient myself, but I didn't recognize these woods. I played in the woods by my house all the time, so I knew them really well, but if these weren't the same woods, then how could I get out? I took a step and I felt a shooting pain in my foot, which knocked me back to where I had just been laying. I'd stepped on a thorn. By the light of the moon, I could see that they were everywhere. I looked at my other foot, but it was fine. As a matter of fact, so was the rest of me. I didn't have another scratch on me, and I wasn't even that dirty. I cried for a little bit. Then I stood back up. I didn't know which way to go, so I just picked a direction. I resisted the urge to call out, since I wasn't sure that I wanted to be found by who or what might be out there. I walked for what seemed like hours. I tried to walk in a straight line, I tried to correct course when I had to take detours, but I was a kid and I was afraid. There weren't any howls or screams, and only once did I hear a noise that scared me. It sounded like a crying baby. I think now that it was just a cat, but I panicked. I ran, veering in different directions to avoid big thickets of bushes and collapsed trees, and I was paying close attention to where I stepped because by that point my feet were in pretty bad shape. I paid too much attention to where I was stepping and not enough to where those steps were leading because not long after hearing the cry, I saw something that filled me with a kind of despair I've never experienced since. It was the pool float. I was only 10 feet from where I'd woken up. This wasn't magic or some supernatural space bending. I was lost. Up until that moment, I thought more about getting out of the woods than how I got in, but being back at the beginning caused my mind to swim. I wasn't even sure that these were my woods. I'd only been hoping that they were. I'd run in a huge circle around that spot, or did I just get turned around and started making my way back? How was I going to get out? At the time, I thought the North Star was just the brightest star, and so I looked and I found the brightest one and I followed it. Eventually, things started to look more familiar, and when I saw the ditch, a ditch my friends and I would have dirt clod wars in, I knew I had made it out. By that point, I was walking really slowly because my feet hurt so much. I was so happy to be so close to home that I broke into a light jog. When I actually saw the roof of my house over a neighboring low-set house, I let out a light sob and I ran faster. I just wanted to be home. I had already decided that I wouldn't say anything because I had no idea what I could possibly say. I'd get back in the house somehow, clean up, get in bed. My heart sunk when I rounded the corner. My house came fully into view. Every light in the house was on. I knew my mom was up. I knew I'd have to explain her, or at least try to explain where I had been, and I couldn't even figure out where to start. My run became a jog, which became a walk. I saw her silhouette through the blinds, and although I was worried about how to explain things to her, that didn't matter to me at that point. I walked up the couple of steps to the porch, and I put my hand on the knob. I turned. Right before I pushed it open, two arms wrapped around me and pulled me back. I screamed as loud as I could, "Mom! Help, please, Mom!" Feeling of being so close to being safe and being physically pulled away from it filled me with that kind of dread. The dread that's, even after all these years, indescribable. Though the door I'd been torn away from opened and a flash of hope shot through my heart, but it wasn't my mom. It was a man, and he was enormous. I thrashed around and I kicked at the shin of the person holding me, while also trying to get away from the person who had just come out of my house. I was scared, but I was furious. Let me go! Where is she? Where's my mom? What'd you do to her? As my throat stung from screaming, I was drawing in another breath. I became aware of a sound that had been present for longer than I had perceived it. Honey, please calm down. I've got you. It sounded like my mom. The arms loosened. He set me down, and as a man approached me, he blocked out the porch light with his head. I noticed his clothes. He was a cop. I turned to face the voice behind me, and I saw that it really was my mom. Everything was okay. I began to cry, and the three of us went inside. "So glad you're home, sweetie. I was worried I'd never see you again." By that point, she was crying too. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. I just wanted to come home. I'm sorry. It's okay. Just don't ever do that again. I'm not sure me or my shins could take it. A little laughter broke through my sobs and I smiled a bit. I'm sorry for kicking you. But why did you have to grab me like that? I was just so afraid that you'd run away again. I was confused. What do you mean? You found your note on your pillow, she said. She pointed at the piece of paper that the police officer was sliding across the table. I picked up the note and I read it. It was a running away letter. It said that I was unhappy and I never wanted to see her or any of my friends again. The police officer exchanged a few words with my mom on the porch while I stared at the letter. I didn't remember writing a letter. I didn't remember anything about any of this. But even if I sometimes went to the bathroom at night and didn't remember, or I could have gone into the woods on my own, even if all of that could have been true, the only thing I knew at that point was, this isn't how you spell my name. I didn't write this letter. Hey there, kids, it's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and once again, it's the end of tonight's video, so I want to tell you all thank you for listening or watching, however you hear my voice. Whether it be on YouTube or on the podcast, thank you so much for being here with me. There's going to be a new story every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday night right here on YouTube, or if you're not watching on YouTube, that means the podcast gets updated on SoundCloud, Apple, Google Play, and now the podcast is on Spotify. So if it's easier for you guys to listen there than it is to listen on YouTube, then hey, not such a bad deal, right? As always, any support you guys give towards Mr. Creepypasta's story time really does help me out. I can actually keep the lights on in the house, and I can get nice little cat treats for Hercules. Okay, sorry for taking up so much of your time. Thank you guys for listening once again. And sweet dreams.